as we redefine what the church, the local church is, and what the job of the church is. I was trained in my youth, my younger years, how to build a big church, how to keep a successful church, and really was about, mostly about how to organize people and motivate people. And I ran into Pastor Dave, and he introduced me to the Holy Spirit, and the whole praying in tongues. Thank God, you know, that praying in tongues burnt all that out of me. For years, I thought, man, I was going to be a successful, wealthy pastor, you know. Then Pastor Dave introduced me to the Holy Spirit, and he threw all those plans away. That having a big church of many people isn't always success. It can be for other churches, but for what the Holy Spirit's worked in me and hopefully in you is the idea of the body, that every part is important. You are important to the body of Christ. And I consider sometimes our services, because I really do appreciate you being here and want to keep you around. And I wonder, like, man, am I going to chase all these people away? Because I'm pretty focused on what the Lord has me to do. And I love to give them more traditional services. But the Lord's pretty strict with me. And when I start any service, he begins to pour through me and teach me, or have me teach what's in me. So I have to trust that. And a typical church is designed to be a force in people's lives, to be a hub, meet the needs of the people, to be a place that people can find comfort, unity, provision, success in their calling, promotion, activities, purpose. And it's not bad. We're not here to fix any other church. But that's not a great description of the body. The body is more of a picture of, well, just your own natural body. You can look at your own body and see how it works. Well, that's how God desires for us to work together. And that's a little different than a typical church. See, a typical church is about really allowing people to remain followers and to receive from God through the preacher, through the church structure. And it allows people to remain immature while they're active for God. Or another way to say it would be for people to remain carnal as they walk with God. I'll read a verse here out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Now, Paul's talking to the preachers here, and he's telling them they're babes in Christ. I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people. I had to speak to you as carnal. Well, carnal, what does that mean? A typical modern church says carnal is the bad parts of life. You know, like smoking and drinking and cussing and anger and hate and jealousy, that's carnal. But the good things of life, helping, serving, giving, loving, joy, that is spiritual. But that's not the picture of carnal. Carnal isn't the bad things. Carnal is everything in your life that comes out of your outward carnal man. Everything of this earth is carnal. I remember one person came to me and they were complaining, Alan, you're just a death preacher. Die, die, die. When do we get to live? I want to live. When do we get to live? And I knew what they were arguing. They didn't know what they were arguing. They were arguing for their carnal man. Their outward man was complaining, because it didn't want to die. It wanted to serve God. It wanted to be busy for God. It wanted to enjoy life. You know, God gave us emotions to enjoy them, you know, and that's not a bad statement, but if you're going to enjoy the good emotions, then do you have to enjoy the bad emotions too? Like, the carnal man is everything that of Adam that you got from this earth. And so many Christians are trying to fix their carnal man. And really, we're supposed to mortify the deeds of the carnal man. And one day, God's going to kill the carnal man completely. He's going to remove him from you and give you a new outward body, mind, and emotions. But many Christians have learned how to serve God with their carnal man, their desire to be busy for God. When the person asked me, when do we get to live? What they were saying is, can't I just serve God with this carnal man instead of having to face him down and kill him? And because if I give him life, he's going to reward me. My outward man will reward me and make me feel good about myself. I would tell people, man, Pastor Dave put me on a path that turned my world upside down through praying in tongues. Because the Holy Spirit, as you pray in tongues, begins to work in you. The Holy Spirit begins to work in you His ideas, His plans, through your inner man, and that will confront the carnality of the outward man. God rejects the outward man. God is going to kill the outward man. He's not going to fix it. He's not going to accept it. But yet so many Christians have been taught how to achieve things through their carnal man, how to serve God through their carnal man. Now, I'm not asking you to change. I'm not asking you to be something you don't want to be. I'm trying to encourage you that when you pray in tongues and you see these changes happening in your life, these contradictions, these struggles on the inside, that I'm trying to just tell you, you're not crazy. You're not failing. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in you, steering you to have a showdown with the outward man to mortify his deeds and not to dress him up in church and to make him who you live through. You'll find out that most of the church world serves God through their outward man. That's why I read chapter 3, verse 1, because Paul here is describing two paths to Christianity. Both of them get you to heaven, but only one will make you complete. The first path is, Paul says, you're carnal. I had to speak to you as carnal, as to babes in Christ. So I had to speak to you as carnal. I call this the carnal tree of ministry. That it's like the Christmas tree where it's a pine tree. There's no fruit on it. We have to dress it with little glowing balls, little shiny balls to make it look like a fruit on the tree. And that's where the gifts are underneath that tree. That's the pine tree, the carnal tree of ministry. But there's another tree of ministry called spiritual people, another path. And that's the spiritual people. That's the people who focus on growing and maturing spiritually, growing their inner man. The motto for the carnal church is, what can I do for God? What can I do for God? Where the motto for the spiritual people is, what can God do through me? And so now, during this season of waiting for God to do something through you, especially talking about your calling and the paths that the Holy Spirit takes you on to have showdowns with your outward man, to overcome your outward man, seems like you're losing ground. You look out and you wonder, what have I accomplished for God? What have I done for God? I should be doing more. I should be seeing more victory, more fruit. But the path that you're on is so important. If the Holy Spirit has led you down that path. Because he has a place in the body that your inner man, your new man, is made for. It is very specific. When we talk about the body, we're all part of the body of Christ. That's a picture like Jesus said when he said, consider the lilies of the field or the birds of the air. If you're feeling like God's not going to provide for you. Because that's another aspect you got to get used to on this path. And when I say this again, I'm trying to not tell you how to be. I'm trying to tell you how the Holy Spirit will lead you. And if he's not leading you there yet, don't worry. But when he does, don't be shocked. You're not crazy. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, again, so many preachers, when they talk about the Holy Spirit, always, always remember this, that there is a big difference, a huge difference, between what the Holy Spirit can do to you, to what the Holy Spirit can build in you through praying in tongues. That is a huge difference. It's like if I go out and look at the sun and I get red face from the sun, and you can see the effect on my face for a couple days. You say, oh, you were in the sun. You got red face. That Indian blood's coming out of you. And then, but in 3 days, I'm back to normal. But if I could take the sun and shrink it down to the size of a golf ball, with all of its nuclear power glowing and vibrating in power, and put it on the inside of my belly and stick it in there, it would explode on the inside. It's a big difference from the Holy Spirit working in you through praying in tongues to the Holy Spirit working in you from what he can anoint you with or gift you with. It's a big deal, and it's what the church has lost for generations, and what I believe God's trying to bring the Walk of the Spirit preachers to reintroduce this message to the church, that praying in tongues is different than the Holy Spirit blessing you or touching you or ministering to you. Because so many believers flocking to services where some preacher will prophesy over them, lay hands on them, anoint them. And this has to do with their calling. Now, when it comes to being blessed, that's all. I'm not against any of that. But when that's all you do, when that's what you focus on, when your relationship with the Holy Spirit is you focusing on him blessing you, touching you, and you'll hear it in the preaching, the Holy Spirit's going to do this today. I sense the Holy Spirit is going to bring your calling forward. He's going to, some of you are writers of books, he's going to put a book in you. And they begin to talk about this relationship with the Holy Spirit doing things in people when that's not his job. His job is not to do something in you. That is a job of praying in tongues. And it's a big difference. And I'm really going to hammer this because not just here, but in Brazil especially, because there's so much, it's been so ingrained in people that the Holy Spirit is doing a work in you, and they spend their whole life with this carrot in front of their nose, chasing this carrot of the Holy Spirit's going to fix me, the Holy Spirit's going to work in me, the Holy Spirit's going to do something in me. And it never happens, because that's not his job. His job for you is to lead and guide you and to teach you through the avenue of the Holy Spirit. You have in you a mind right now, a spiritual mind. It's a better word for it would be a library. And when you were born again, God equipped you with it, your inner man, with life. And now there's a spiritual mind, emotions, and desires that are of God, are of a material that is righteous, like God is righteous. And it's like a library that's empty. So right now, when someone's born again, you have a spiritual library that's empty. In the Old Testament, when someone taught or prophesied, they would have to have the Holy Spirit whisper in their ear, and they would repeat what they heard. But see, that library is empty when you're born again. You have the mind of Christ, but it's empty. And now it must be filled with the knowledge of God. That is your first job as a believer, to fill yourself with the knowledge of God. And that spiritual mind is the only place, the only library that can contain that truth. Your carnal mind cannot understand it, because it's made of meat. It's from Adam. It's a lesser species. But your spiritual mind, you have in you right now, you have a spiritual mind that is all the shells. When you're born again, all the shells are empty, but it is able to contain the very knowledge of God and comprehend it. Now, how do we fill that up? Holy Spirit, bless me, touch me, minister to me, preacher, anoint me with oil, prophesy over me, speak into my life, activate my calling. And we've got a whole group of believers chasing their calling, wanting to be used of God, but they're chasing their tail. They're going around and around. In 20 years, they'll figure it out. The inner man has a mind that's hungering to be filled with library books of knowledge that the Holy Spirit will place in there. And the only place, listen, the only place, well, I better say it this way, the main place to receive that knowledge in your spiritual mind is praying in tongues. It's not the Holy Spirit. I'm having to change the way I say it, because as soon as I say the Holy Spirit, many people, not you so much, because you know this message better than most, but many people who understand the Holy Spirit have been so indoctrinated that the Holy Spirit is a person outside of them that wants to touch them and give them things. And they forget about the Holy Spirit in them. They think being baptized in the Holy Ghost is the key, is the victory. It's not. It's just the beginning. Being baptized in the Holy Ghost does not give you spiritual knowledge. Only praying in tongues does. And so it's like having a computer, saying, yeah, I got a computer now, and I'm going to start getting the knowledge from the internet, but then you don't hook it up to Wi-Fi, or you don't plug it in. And you say, yeah, I got a computer, I can know everything. No, you can't get access until you plug it in. Well, praying in tongues is that wire that plugs your computer into the internet. And so the way it works is, in the Old Testament, you would have to listen to the Holy Spirit on the outside. When the Holy Spirit gave Moses the Ten Commandments, that was him whispering in his ear, talking to him plainly. But for us New Testament, born-again believers, what happens for me when I preach, here's what I do. Pastor Dave would make me do it. He would never let me prepare a message. If he caught me before a service looking through my Bible, trying to find some verse to hold on to, he would start talking to me. How's the kids, Alan? How's the dog? What's going on? How was lunch? What are you doing for dinner tomorrow? And he would bother me until the praise and worship stopped, to force me not to prepare. And because the way the Holy Spirit works, and he'll do this with your calling, and whatever your calling is different than my calling. Some of you may be called to be in the same place as me, same position, but most of us are called to different things. And so when I get up to preach, Pastor Dave would want me to rely on the Holy Spirit to begin to bring things forward. And here's how it works. I spend hours praying the tongues. I don't feel anything. I don't notice anything. Doesn't seem like anything's changed. Then tomorrow I spend hours praying in tongues. Doesn't seem like anything's changed. The next day I pray in tongues. Doesn't seem like anything's changed. In fact, kind of feel worse about myself. But when I step into my calling as a preacher, the Holy Spirit, he goes into the library that he put truth in years ago. Images and truth. I don't even know what's in there, but he does. And as I'm preaching, he'll begin to pull that truth out of my spiritual mind, bring it over to my natural understanding, and have me preach it out. It's not that he's whispering in my ear. He deposited that in the library of my spiritual man years ago. And now it's that he can have access to that for the rest of eternity in my life. Well, whatever your calling is, whether it's finances, whether it's a calling to help kids, to repair cars and minister to people, the callings are important. The body is diverse. So when Paul says we are the body, what he's saying is that each of you, each of us, have a part to play equally important to the next. See, the pastor's not the head of the body. Jesus is head of the body. So, but when you look at the modern church, it's designed around a model where the pastor is actually the CEO and people come under him, submit to his vision, and help him to accomplish his vision. That's what I was taught, was that when you go to church, you need to make the pastor's vision come to pass. And that's not necessarily wrong, but what we don't want is for people to come with us and find a place where they can remain immature and still feel like they're great. I'm doing great because I feel good. I did things. I accomplished things. It's a lie. It's deceptive. It causes people to spend 50 years of their life serving God in church and never stepping into their calling. Always helping, but never stepping into their calling. You have a call in your life. God wants to bring it forward. But it's not in asking God to bring it forward. Doesn't come forward because of faith. It comes forward not because of serving. It comes forward because of maturity. Years ago when I was young, we had a young man who, his mom came to Bible college with him. She was a single mother, had three kids. I think both of her husbands died, maybe. I think she had a hard time getting married because her first two husbands died. Didn't know if it was the cooking or what, but that's like the joke of the husband and wife out for dinner. And they start eating, and the husband doesn't say the blessing over the food. And she says, "Wait a minute, you're not praying for the food. Are you just embarrassed? Why are you not praying for the food out in public? And we're at a restaurant, and we're not eating at home." And he said, "Oh, no, no, I don't need to bless this food. The chef knows how to cook." Now, you may get that tomorrow, but... At the church, she brought her son. He was born with one kidney, and that kidney was small, and only one small kidney. And the doctors told her that when he gets to be about 13, 14 years old, his body will grow, the outside body will grow, the bigger muscles, more, just taller. Kids do, they hit the growth spurts between 10 and 13. And she said, he's going to grow. And when he grows, we don't think his little kidney will be able to keep up with the rest of the body. And that's when they said he'll probably need a kidney transplant. But until he hits 13, his little kidney is going to be okay. And sure enough, that's what happened. His little kidney worked until he was, I think, 13. And then all of a sudden his numbers started to get bad, and the kidney couldn't clean the blood because there was too much blood for it as he got taller and bigger. And sure enough, she had to get a kidney transplant, and she donated a kidney to him. And he's still, you know, still doing good today as far as I know. Well, that's such a great picture for you and me as this body. See, my job isn't to fix any other body. My job is to do our best to allow this body to grow and mature. When you see yourself, the danger is if you're not growing spiritually through praying in tongues, through worship, through the Word of God, then you're in danger of being good in the church until the church grows and matures around you. And then all of a sudden you realize, I can't participate in this body because I have not grown for years. And that's really a danger. A lot of people who start praying in tongues, they quit. They're around the environment. They respect the message, but they don't do the message. That's a danger where you'll end up being in a body, your part of the body, your role to play in the body. And that's why the devil tries so hard to resist you, to distract you, to find that other religious path that most of the church world does, is what can I do for God? How can I be busy for God and do things so my outward man feels good about itself? If I give that to my outward man, it will reward me with feelings of success and fulfillment. But if I follow the directions of the Holy Spirit, then my outward man punishes me. Maybe you've felt that recently. I've went through a few heavy battles recently, emotionally, mentally, just from my outward man and the devil joining hands to tell me, you know, you're worthless, it's not working, all those things. And I know I've been around long enough to understand the warfare, but it is still warfare. When you're going through it, you can know it's warfare, but still be affected by it and have to fight out of it. And the outward man and the devil join up to say, yeah, what good are you? And because the outward man will punish you instead of giving you emotions of dopamine and feeling excited about life, it'll begin to hold back and release emotions of defeat and discouragement and failure to try to nudge you to quit killing it, to quit hiding life from it and make it, give me what I want, or I want to make you feel bad. And many Christians begin to get busy for God during this moment, doing things in life just to feel good about themselves. And because they have been trained by their natural man, the natural brain, the carnal mind, to serve it instead of to serve God. See, you and I don't get to decide what it means to serve God. He gets to decide for us. If you write that down, that's a note. I think Vince is taking notes today for me. You don't get to tell God how you serve him. That's a hard thing to really accept for the carnal man. The carnal man, the outward man, wants to tell God how it's going to serve him. When I have time, God, when I'm ready, I'll do this much. See, God wants to own everything. The scripture says you've been bought and paid for. Your life is not your own. And one of the things you face on this walk And I'm not trying to, again, I'm not trying to make you be something you don't want to be. You need to follow God from within. And wherever you're at, I'm proud of you for still pursuing the walk of the Spirit and not giving up on the path. So I'm not judging anyone. But what I'm saying is if you keep praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit will begin to take you down a path that's foreign for most Christians. Because most Christians have been taught and trained how to find happiness and success and fulfillment through serving God through their carnal outward man. And religion joins hands with the outward man, and they skip through life happy but never fulfilling what God really has for them. And 50 years later, I know good people, good-hearted people take the shirt off their back for you. And when I started in ministry when I was 18, 19 years old, these people really inspired me, encouraged me. Now, all these years later, you know, almost 40 years later, they're still in the same place, doing the same thing week after week, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, still doing the same exact thing. They haven't grown one inch, but yet they still love God, but religion has captured their life and robbed their life from fulfilling their calling. And they don't even know it. How important is it to be part of the body? Well, you have many parts. What part are you willing to do without? You want to get rid of your liver? Well, you know, when your liver stops working, they have a whole section in the hospital for you. If your heart stops working, they have a whole section in the hospital. They have an eye section. They have a kidney section. Every part of your body is important, necessary. How necessary are you to the God fulfilling his work on this earth? Well, he places us in a body. And the way to see the body, and this is important too, the way to see the body, not so much as the church overall, all across the world is the body of Christ. Like there's an ocean of the body. That's not a good way because it's easy to hide in that. Yeah, I'm part of the body. I'm in there somewhere. I'm a little speck in the body of Christ. Now, the best way to see the body is each church, each group is a body, a body of Christ. In this body, for instance, it's more specific to see yourself that, okay, I'm part of a local group or part of this group. And so I have a role to play in this body that God wants to bring forward. It's not my job to bring it forward. And you can see why when people mature, they quit chasing ministry. They quit chasing being used of God because the Holy Spirit begins to take that away from you and saying, hey, I have a place for you. That's one job. If you think about the body, like let's talk about the lungs. The lungs have one role, and that's it. One role. Breathe in, breathe out. That's it. Day after day, day after day, day after day. In and out. Tomorrow, guess what? Same job. Day after day, day after day. Day after day. The heart has one job. Beat, I think, 100,000 times in one day. That's it. Beat, beat, beat. The kidneys clean the blood. The liver does what the liver does. The eyes see, the ears hear. And you don't get to switch roles. It's the same job. If the heart says, hey, I need some me time. You know, I've just been working hard. Nonstop, day and night. You think about that heart, that's an amazing muscle. Day and night. And it doesn't get to sleep. says, I just need a break. I need a little me time. I'm tired of being the one that does all the beating. I just want to take a break. And if your heart takes a 10-minute break, a me time, we call 911. And they bring you back. Get back here. Get back here. And the heart cannot switch jobs. The heart cannot switch with the lungs and say, hey, how about we switch today? Let's play roles today. And I'll do your job, you do mine. No, it's one job for the rest of your life. Can you imagine that? How boring that seems, how mundane that seems. But the difference is when the Holy Spirit begins to bring your calling forward, you'll find that it'll be the love of your life. You'll say things like, boy, this is everything I want to do. This is it. I don't want to do anything else. This is the love of my life. I remember back in Norwell's days, when I was at Norwell's ministry, I had started a Saturday witnessing group where we went out every Saturday to go soul winning, and a whole bunch of us, I'd rally everyone up. We'd go and we'd pick a place, usually a lower income neighborhood, and go knock on the doors and share Christ and try to get people saved and pray for them. And it had grown enough that I'd given over the leadership over to someone, said, you decide where we go. And I remember one Friday night, because again, Pastor Dave convinced me to go pray in tongues. And I did it. I actually prayed in tongues. Hours a day, prayed in tongues. I'd go on long walks. During the night, when I was bored, I'd go for a long walk and pray in tongues. That was easier for me. I'd get up early in the morning and open up the Bible school and pray in there. Friday, I got a call, and it was odd because on Friday, nothing in me wanted to go soul winning on Saturday. Nothing in me wanted to do it. I did not want to do it. I did not want to do it. It was like pulling my teeth, making myself to go, but I did not want to go. And I remember talking to one of the young guys who was responsible for the program with me. And he said, yeah, we're going over to this neighborhood tomorrow. That's our plan. And I said, yeah, I don't think I'm going to come. He said, what's wrong? Are you sick? What's wrong? I said, no, I don't feel sick. Well, you got plans? What's going on? I said, no, I don't have any plans. And he said, well, I don't understand. Are you backsliding? why aren't you coming? And because remember, there is in the carnal church, there's a reward given for if you go do works for God. But in the spiritual church, spiritual people church, their only rewards are given for you're doing what God tells you to do, not you deciding what you're going to do. That's a big statement right there. I said, no, I just don't feel, maybe I'm backsliding, but I'm not coming. I just couldn't make myself do it. And I remember asking God, I said, am I backsliding? Like, what's wrong with me? And he said, no, you're losing your false, your false motivation. And see, I was a busy Christian. And it's what helped me be successful in ministry in the carnal church, was being busy, a busy Christian. The Lord, when he started to remove my motivation, my false motivation, I realized I wasn't busy because I was a really good Christian, good-hearted Christian, loved God. I was busy because I was feeding that false motivation of unworthiness, that I was serving it in the name of God. Because when I did things for the church, I felt good about myself that God loved me. And if I wasn't busy, I felt that God didn't love me. the Holy Spirit began through praying in tongues. The Holy Spirit filled my library, my inner man, with truth. And the Holy Spirit was able to use that library of truth to confront the lie that I was unworthy. And I was being set free and did not realize it. And when I was being set free, I was no longer driven to go do something for God just to feel good about myself. That was something praying in tongues did in me. That false motivation began to leave. And year after year, I've seen victories and made decisions way beyond my pay grade, made decisions way beyond my level of courage and faith because of what praying in tongues did in my inner man. See, God doesn't just give you a job. You'll find that your inner man loves that job. You'll find that when you step into your calling, you won't want to do anything else. You won't care about anything else. People say, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And you'd be like, go have fun. Don't you want to come? No, I'm content right where I am. I'm loving life to the fullest right now. Not only that, there's a place with God where you trust Him completely. And this is a foreign place for the modern church, where you can trust Him with everything. You allow Him to be fully in control of your life, and you trust Him with everything. And it's foreign because it means you quit trusting your own outward man. When I would hit situations, I remember I would start to analyze with my natural mind and feel out 30 different scenarios. Trying to think, okay, if I did this, I can do that. If I did this, this would happen. And then I'd find one scenario where there'd be an answer. Okay, if I did this, that would cause this, that would cause this, and then I'll get what I want. And when I had the answer, I would feel safe. Oh, okay. It's going to be okay because I have an answer. That's the natural carnal soul, natural man trying to figure out how to fix situations. And when one of the scenarios gave me a hope of an answer, then I would feel peace. But until then, I would keep running things through my mind, my natural mind, trying to analyze, how can I fix this? How can I fix this? How is this going to be okay? How is that going to be okay? And I'd just go until I could find an answer. If I'm preaching good, give me an amen. Where's my Caleb amener? Oh boy. And so if I fell asleep while I was analyzing, then I'd wake up at 2 a.m. and I couldn't go back to sleep because my brain would start working, trying to analyze, finding some path out of 100,000 options. How can I find even just a hope of a victory? And if I can find a hope, then I would feel peace. Okay, it's going to be okay. I think I got the answer. I remember we had one pastor friend of mine, a really good man. I love him so much even today. Very wealthy. He was an executive of like Whirlpool. A very wealthy man, a hard worker, and did his church on Sundays, but worked full time, traveled around the world. He would go to a factory in a different country and reorganize it and make decisions. A true blue executive, like real deal. He retired. And I remember he asked me and Chris, he said, we're coming through Tulsa. We'd like to meet you for lunch if you're available. I said, sure. And I told Chris, hey, he's, Pastor so-and-so invited us for lunch. He told us to pick the restaurant. So I picked a nice restaurant because obviously he was going to pay. So we go up a grade, I'm a good preacher. I'm not a dumb preacher. I'm still a smart preacher. And we met him for lunch. Really good people. the car they were driving or the SUV they were driving was more expensive, cost him more than what I paid for my house. And but he was frugal over all that, you know. But you know, they had so much money in their bank account and their stock, and but he had just retired, so that meant he wasn't generating income from work. This was right when the stock market crashed, and so he saw his retirement be cut in half overnight. It was still huge, but it was cut in half. Now, he spent all his years building it up, and then in one weekend, zap, it just, you know. And I can understand when you got your heart set on, man, I've got 20 million saved up over there, and then boom, all of a sudden it's 10 million. It's like, oh, I just lost $10 billion. I can see it. But I remember sitting there, and they were so nervous. They were so concerned because they were just retired. They were so concerned about their future. I felt so bad for them. I paid for the dinner, trying to love on them. And afterwards, I thought, how is that even possible? That here I am with nothing, and I feel peace. And I'm having dinner with someone with everything, and they don't feel peace. How is that even possible? Don't be fooled by the world. Don't be fooled by carnal Christianity. Because you're going to hit something. I'm not prophesying over you. Life will make sure you hit something impossible, that you cannot find an answer through a million navigating through your natural mind. How's this going to fix it? How am I going to fix it? How am I going to be okay? Life will make sure that most of us hit something impossible where there's no natural answer. And if you lived your life in that safety, you won't find peace again. But if you live a life of letting God lead you and you find peace in Him and only Him, then no matter what life throws at you or the devil throws at you, you have a peace on the inside because your inner man says, my Father will take care of us. He didn't lead us down this path to fail. He led us down this path to have victory. And no matter what it looks like on the outside, my Father has led us to a place of victory. But most Christians will never be able to say that because they've lived their life with an idea that if I want God to provide for me, I give Him money, and then He gives me money back. See, that's religion. You give so you feel confident that He's going to give you back. But God as a Father says, I don't need anything of yours, and I will provide for you because you're my child. The motivation to give is because of maturity, not because of insecurity. Oh, that's a great message right there. I'm going to have to use that. The motivation to give is out of maturity, not out of insecurity. Insecurity says, you may starve tomorrow, but if you give your 10% and you give your money, then God is obligated to give back to you. And see, that is the carnal church of walking with God. In you is a calling stamped on you since your conception is a calling that God is determined to bring forward, because He needs a body to rise up fully mature, not just the preacher, but everyone. How sad is it that we look to the preacher for everything? Lay hands on me, preacher. I'm sick. Lay hands on me, preacher. I need you to activate my calling. Promote me, preacher. Prophesy over me, preacher. Let God touch you through me, preacher. It's okay. But how sad is it when we train people to be followers of a preacher to have access to God instead of saying, He's your Father too. He's your head. You're a part of the body just like the preacher. The only place you're going to find what you're after is in maturity. And I'll give you a little hint. If you're not praying in tongues, you'll never get there, because praying in tongues is how the Holy Spirit fills that library of your inner man's mind with truth. You'll always end up relying on the natural carnal mind to find your solutions for all your problems, for all your finances, for your self-worth, for your calling. And you'll live there for 50 years and feel great until one day you hit something impossible and the whole world can come crashing down. And worse than that, you'll end up going to heaven and discovering when God tells you, God, look what I did for you. 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 Look what I gave you. Look how I served you. Look what I did. You'll say, yeah, but I didn't ask you to do anything. I didn't ask you to do any of those things. But what I did ask you to do, you didn't do. See, you want a reward. That's like me showing up at your house. Or some stranger showing up at your house. Hey, knock, knock, knock. Hello? Yeah, hey, I swept your sidewalk. I need $100. It just rained. I didn't need a sweep. Surely not worth $100. Yeah, but I did anyway. I was just walking through the street with a broom and I need $100. I didn't ask you to do that. I'm not going to pay you. And many Christians try to do that for God. God, I did that. I had the choice. Go pray in tongues and obey you and follow you, or go do something I like to do. You know, we got strong women around me. I got some tough, strong women around me that have no problem putting me in my place in a good way. We like our women tough. We don't like our women silly. We like them tough. Even Ava gets compliments for being, you know, tough. So I like that. And women, you should be tough, not pushovers. Okay? Not even not pushovers, but not even like bypassing hard choices, you know. Oh, I don't know. I just do what my husband tells me to do. You know, like, okay, but, you know, let's go. You know, so we'd have a dinner, and in our group, everyone helps somehow. You know, you bring food, you clean. And after dinner, usually the ladies were, you know, thank God we're still a little traditional, but, you know, the man was sitting with their bellies full and the ladies would, you know, clear the dishes. And every once in a while we'll get a lady come over that's not into that. And so they would sit there while our ladies would start cleaning and taking care of business. And it's silly to me when you're in a group and you're not participating. And that's silly to me when you let other people serve you and you don't serve either in a different way where you're okay just sitting back and letting other people do so. That's silly to me. But anyways, this one lady, she did not want to participate. But what she did do, because she was obvious that everyone's doing something but her, she decided to be busy doing something else. So it didn't look like she was resisting the regular helping out. So normally that meant that she would go find some of the kids and start playing with the kids. So she said, oh, I'm playing with the kids. I'm doing something. But it eventually she worked herself out of our group because she refused to join in. And I don't know if I'm preaching okay or not, but that's a very childish things, right? When you tell your kid to do something and they do something, but they do something they want to do rather than what you ask them to do. Every kid knows that trick. Every parent knows that trick. Well, a lot of adults do that with God. God saying, I want you to go spend time in prayer. Ah, that's so boring. I don't see any fruit. It doesn't feel good sometimes when I pray. I'll pray in tongues for 2 hours and nothing seemed to change. Let me go do something. Let me go actively do something for you so that I feel good about it. I feel like I'm accomplishing something. And see, that's what religion does. It distracts you to be busy for God rather than growing God. And so that's like saying to God, I know you told me to clean the room, but you know what? I went out and played with a dog instead because he was lonely. You don't get rewarded for doing what you want. You get rewarded for doing what he asks. And the prayer closet can seem like a lonely place, a death place, a place of death, which it is. It doesn't seem like it's rewarding. And worse than that, it begins to take you to a place where you are not in control, where you have no evidence that God's going to financially support you. You have no evidence that God's going to use you in your calling. You have no proof. He doesn't owe you anything. God, I led 5 people to the Lord. Now you'll use me. I gave you $1,000. Now you will bless me. He'll take you to a place where you're fully at his mercy. And the only reason he will bless you, provide for you with abundance, the only reason he will move you forward in your calling is because he has counted you faithful. Because he decided it's time. You can feel lost. And you've got to get used to that feeling of not having any control. You've got to get used to feeling like that. Now, again, I'm not trying to tell you how to get where you're supposed to be. I'm just trying to tell you where the Holy Spirit will take you. Because the same work that the Holy Spirit does in me, he's going to do in you, and do in you, and do in you, through praying and the Holy Ghost. Because each of us are equally important to God. Each part is equally important to God. And each part must mature for it to be able to stand and for us to have a complete body. The church is not to be your mama. The church is not to be your papa. The church is not to be your provider. The church is to be a place where we come together to walk in unity to accomplish what this body is supposed to accomplish. I'll read one more set of verses here as I close. I'm starting to preach now. You got me preaching. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. But I discipline my body. If you want to make that an easier statement to understand, you can say, I discipline my outward man. See, here he talks about a race. Well, we all know we're not supposed to compare ourselves to each other. I'm not racing you. You're not racing me. He compares us to a fight where you need two people to fight. One where he says, I don't beat the air. I punch him right square in the mouth and I hit him so hard his teeth rattle. And he says, when I fight to win. I knock that sucker out. That's the picture here. Well, who is he racing against? Who is he fighting against? Well, here is a picture of the inner man and outward man. You are in a race in your life. You're either going to allow your inner man to grow or you're going to live through your outward man, the spiritual man or the carnal man. And if you spend your life busy serving God, doing things for God, you're going to find out the carnal man will win the race and you will lose it. You're not supposed to be listening to the advice of the carnal man. You're not supposed to be letting the carnal man tell you how to be happy, how to be successful. You are to punch him square in the mouth and say, shut your mouth. You are a stupid liar. You are dumb as a rock. I'm not going to listen to you. I have an inner man that praying in tongues teaches by, taught by the Holy Spirit, and I will follow his direction as he follows the Holy Spirit. You're not to be giving in. And it feels, again, it's going to feel like you're out of control. You're going to say, I have no direction. I have no evidence. I have no desire to go do things. And God's not using me. And I want God to use me. And all I do is I can feel him say, go pray. Go pray in tongues. Go fast. Go overcome this. Get rid of this in your life. Face this in your life. Yeah, but God, you're using this guy. You're using that girl. Look what you're doing with them. They got testimonies. I have no testimonies. What's wrong with me? Well, you're not out of control. You're just not in control. He is. And it means that you're going to have to trust him. But God, you're going to take care of me, not because I feel I deserved it or I earned it, but only because you love me. You're going to have to provide for me. You're going to have to put me to work. See, if there is a person out there, I'll put it this way, and then I'm winding down, I promise. There is a person out there that has spent his whole life dedicated to playing an instrument, like we'll say, like a guitar, okay? Or a violin, how about that? And spent their whole life, and they are the best violinists in the world at this moment. And they spend 4 hours a day practicing, 2 hours at night performing, and they play for an orchestra somewhere in the world. They don't make a lot of money. They live in a reasonable house. Their needs are met. They're happy. And they are the best violinists in the whole world. And none of us know their name, but the people around them know that they are the best. They get up every morning, 4 hours a day they practice. They go and they sit in the orchestra with 100 other musicians and play every night. And they love it. They love it. They love it. And then there's a young 18-year-old guy with long hair. 18-year-old boy that can play 3 chords on a guitar. And he is famous. He's known around the world. He fills up stadiums because he can sing. He plays 3 chords on the guitar. He's making millions and millions of dollars. Everyone knows his name. See, that violinist has to have a maturity about them to say, good for him. Go, buddy, go. But I'm not worried about popularity. I don't do this so everyone knows my name. I'm doing this because this is what I'm called to do. This is what I love. And you're going to have to learn, or you will learn with the help of the praying in tongues, how to be content with what God has given you. And you'll find that in that contentment, you will love life. You won't be after people acknowledging you, telling other people about you. You'll be content because you're doing what you love to do. That's why you do it, because God has asked you to do it. It's not about popularity. It's not about people knowing your name. That shallowness will be broken off of you. It's because you're pleasing the Father and you're winning your race against your outward man. Not only will it give you an assignment that's specific, it'll be the love of your life to do it. You'll be able to sit in a room of popular people and go, good for you, good for you. I'm content. I'm doing exactly what God told me to do. Well, you should do more. No, I shouldn't. No, I shouldn't do more. I should do just what I'm doing. That's the walk of the Holy Spirit. That's the walk of praying in tongues. we're going to hammer some more in the future about the difference between the person of the Holy Spirit working upon your life versus the work of the Holy Spirit through praying in tongues that happens in your inner man. It's a big, big difference, and the church world's got it all mixed up and messed up, where a lot of people think they're the Holy Spirit's working in them because they've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, or they ask the Holy Spirit to touch them, and he's not. The work in you is through praying in tongues. Amen. I'm going to stop there. I love each of you. I'm very proud of you. Just keep praying in tongues. Even if you've fallen off the wagon and you're going slow and you don't, you know, it doesn't matter if you're doing 10 minutes a day. Keep doing 10 minutes a day. And it'll increase as you keep being faithful to that. If you're doing an hour a day, that's a great amount. Keep that up. Don't feel bad if you're not doing 30 hours a week. Do what you can do within your schedule, but don't lose the focus. We're not here to win the world. We're not here to do anything else than what our Father has asked us as a body to do. And we are to grow together and mature together in our parts of the body. If you need help in your life, we've got many good parts of the body. If you're into business, we got John here, and we've got Chuck here, and Jesse. You can. They'll give you advice if you need help. Boy, if you need help with budgeting, I'm going to throw Carmen under the bus. but you know, contact Carmen. She'll give you some instruction. She's the queen of budgeting. You know, if you need help with evangelism, if you need help with husband, wife, we've got people here who've been through it, who can walk you through it, who I trust. Raising kids and all those things. The body is to nourish itself, okay? We got Ty here, who's a business guy. We got, I don't want to leave anyone out, but there's so many quality. I look at this group and I think, wow, what a great group of quality people. How amazing. Piero was here. He's another business guy. In you is a calling that God wants to bring forward. And it's going to be specific. And it's going to be to meet a need in the body that only your part can play. Which means you got to let go. You will let go of being the person who does it. It's God's doing this through me. It's not me doing it for God. You no longer need recognition. You no longer need a pat on the back. And again, this is what praying in tongues will do for you. Just keep praying in tongues. He'll take you down the same path of maturity. And when it starts to happen, don't freak out. Don't feel like you're failing. Be proud to be in his will. Amen. Let me close in prayer. Don't forget, during the services, if you have a prayer request you want me to pray for at the end, just text it to Michelle. She'll make sure I get it. Father, I pray for each person that's here. I thank you for your call on their life. They are important to you. I'm thankful that even our young kid, our younger group, is learning this message and understanding more and more about how important they are to you and your kingdom, God. No one is less important than someone else. No girl is less important than a boy. No one is less important. Each one is equally important to your body, to your calling. So, Father, I thank you. Your hand of blessing is on each home. Your hand of provision is on each home. I speak abundance in Jesus' name. I thank you for your healing power as we get stronger and stronger in you. Unity in the home between husband and wife, mom and dad and kids. Father, continue to bless each one as we walk with you faithfully and spend time growing individually with you. In Jesus' name, I ask you also that you place a grace upon each of us, a supernatural strength, supernatural courage to continue to pray in the Holy Spirit, to continue to worship you, to spend time with you in that prayer closet, to become more and more like our Father. In Jesus' name, amen.